Well, hello, church.
Hello.
Welcome. Whether you're in person with us this morning or you're online, we appreciate you guys being here. We do appreciate your partnership with us in ministry, without which we couldn't do what we do. This is the world we live. It's always been the world we live. It takes resources to do what's right in the kingdom of the Lord. And so we appreciate you being here with us and partnering with us in that. We appreciate your love by which you give that. And now as we move into the Christmas season, boy, I'm excited. I'm a Christmas, I don't know what you want to call it. I just love Christmas. I love Christmas so much. I love the lights. I love the story. I love family. I love everything about the Christmas season that seems to bring it back. I love that as you walk down the street, people have a little bit bigger smile on their face. More folks as you drive by give you a howdy wave. It's just a great time of year that I love to pick out the good stuff. Now, as with anything in this world, you can pick out the bad stuff if you want to. I'm just not that guy. I'm not that guy. And so we're transitioning now. If you want to turn over to Matthew chapter 1, and you can put a finger or a bookmark there, and we're going to be in Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to be in Luke chapter 1. And as we go through this Christmas season, I'm going to tell you, if you've heard the Christmas story, you're not going to hear anything new. But that's okay, because you don't always need to hear something new. Sometimes we just need to be refreshed. You know, the Bible says remember. It's probably one of the most used words in the Bible is remember. There's a reason why the book is only so big and only so many stories are told, because he wants us to remember these things. The repetitive nature of what we do calls it to mind. It's never supposed to become mundane, or it's never supposed to become repetitive. It's supposed to bring these memories to our mind of our Lord and Savior. And so at this time, as we transition to the Christmas season, I am going to help you to remember that salvation came at Christmas. Salvation came at Christmas. I remember being young. It wasn't so long ago for me. But I'm talking young. I'm talking little bit young. And I don't know why, but I used to have the worst nightmares. Nightmares that would just freak me out. But it was okay, because I knew where my dad's room was. The problem usually was that there's a long, dark hallway between my room and dad's room. And so I knew if I could just make it there, just his sheer presence would comfort me. But I had to get there. I had to walk the dark hallway in my panic, in my fear, to get to where my father was. And the walk wasn't pleasant, but I knew if I could just get there, everything would be okay. I wonder if Mary and Joseph felt that same kind of fear. That terrifying fear that overcomes you when you've been given something big to do, or when you have a crazy nightmare, that fear that almost just brings you to the position where you can't move. It debilitates you. I wonder if that's what happened when they were told the message on this Christmas season. I wonder, as they walked down their dark hallway, if they remembered the Father's love and his presence would make everything okay. I think they did. I think they did, because if we go to Matthew 1 and chapter, or Matthew 1 and verse 19, it says this: because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law. And I just want us to focus on that part. I know I put the whole thing, we'll get to that eventually, but this part right here: he was faithful to the law. This means he knew the Lord. This means he was an upright and righteous man. He knew the love of God, the love of the Father, was about protection. It was about taking care of them. And just like it in Luke 1 verse 26, we know this too, that in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, okay, to a town in Galilee. And it goes on to say that, and I apologize, I put the wrong verse in there for you. But it says that Mary was highly favored by the Lord. You can't be highly favored by the Lord unless you know the Lord, unless you live an upright life. That's how you become favored by the Lord. And I really think as they walked these few months in this dark hallway, that they realized that the presence of God and the salvation that was to come would bring them peace. But let's pray for some wisdom. Father and God, as we open up your word, as we reveal the story of your son's birth, as we reveal the coming of salvation through Jesus Christ, I would ask that we impart wisdom to our, you impart wisdom to our hearts, that we would become overflowing with the knowledge of your love and how to give that to others, how to bring that to others, how to love you in that. I pray, Lord, that we would find the joy of the season, that we would put all other things aside and we would remember you and the salvation that you brought to us. We pray this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Salvation came at Christmas. It came through God's Son, Jesus Christ, who the Word became flesh and dwelt among us upon this earth and brought us the wisdom that God had always had. You know, a lot of people think there's this big, great difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Like God was like an Old Testament God and like a New Testament God. But I'm here to tell you, the scripture tells us that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's always been the same God. So what changed? Well, people changed. People changed the law to suit their needs. People changed the things of this world to suit themselves. And so God says, you know what they need? They need my son, and they need his word, and they need the word to become flesh. And so the word became flesh at this time, and it came through two people. It came through Joseph, and it came through Mary. And Joseph and Mary raised Jesus up as he was born. And I'm here to tell you, those two special people, you know, without them, Christmas doesn't happen. Now, I'm not saying God would be put in a box. What I'm saying is God always uses people because he wants relationship with them. And so as we go in here and we begin to read this story of Mary, we're going to begin with Mary this morning in Luke chapter 1. And I'm going to begin over here in verse 26, and it says this. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to the town of Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. So much theology in there I can't get to, but I want to. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at the words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked, "since I am a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she will be unable to And she who is unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your words to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. A lot going on in this. So much theology wrapped up in this, and we really just got to focus in on a couple things this morning. And number one was Mary was afraid. When we read that she was troubled, an angel came to her. And with an angel coming to a person, it was 50-50. You could flip a coin of what the angel was bringing, good news or bad news. Good news was okay, means you were favored in the Lord. It means everything's going to be all right. If an angel came with bad news, things weren't going to be so good with you. And here's this angel, and he's coming to Mary. And I imagine when he first comes in and he first gives this message to her, even though it seems to be a good message, she's troubled within her heart. As we read that, when it says that she was kind of perplexed or troubled, the word inside of there is exactly what it means. It means there was a wrestling going on inside of her. She didn't know what to think about it. She was trying to process this message. Look, I don't know about you, but so far, I have not had an angel of the Lord appear to me yet. Okay, so I have no idea what this is like. But I gotta imagine that the presence of an angel, especially the angel Gabriel, coming to you has got to bring with it some spiritual weight that you would feel. You know, we see a lot of images in movies and things like that. We see these great, this bright light shines and this deep voice, Mary, and you know, obviously it could be very freaky. I don't know, because I've never been there. And I wrestle with whether I ever want a message from an angel or not. I'm going to be honest with you, I'm just not ready for that yet. That full presence and weight of God's word coming to specifically you. And yet, I want to encourage you that each and every day God's word can come to you. And the weight of that spiritual message can be upon you just the same as it was Mary. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes I read the word and I'm greatly troubled because I wrestle within myself, and I believe Mary was wrestling internally with herself. Because in the end, we all wrestle spiritually. Even though the angel said to her that she's going to conceive and give birth to God's Son, there's just got to be this wrestling. Galatians 5 and verse 17, for the flesh sets its desire against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. Sometimes we see Mary as this spiritual giant, as this superhuman person who accepted this superhuman mission. But I'm here to tell you, this was just a person. She had hopes. She had dreams. She had desires. Here she was betrothed to be married to a good man, Joseph. He was a hard-working fella. He was a carpenter, had a good trade. Probably had built a home for him. They were going to live with each other. She was probably going to have babies, and they were going to go to temple, and they were going to worship God, and they were going to do just what people do. She just wanted the Jewish dream, you know, like we want the American dream, right? And God comes in there, and he just kind of throws a grenade right into the middle of it. I don't know if you've ever been asked by God to leave everything you've ever known and start something new. And not only to do that, but to do it in a way that people wouldn't understand. But that's a terrifying thing to do, to put yourself fully in the hands of God, especially when you don't understand. And so we had this choice she had to make, and the angel reassures her not to be fearing. Do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. Do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. He's saying, look, this is a good message. This is going to be a good thing. Those who have found favor with God are provisioned by God. You go back and you look throughout all of the stories of the scripture. It doesn't matter Old Testament stories or New Testament stories. You look at all of the stories of scripture, and anybody God chooses, he provisions. Even in their weaknesses, even in their faults. We look at Moses, and he stuttered, and he didn't even want to do what God was asking him to do. He said, look, I'm going to need you to go back to Egypt, and I'm going to need you to set the people free over there. He said, God, you got the wrong dude. That ain't my bag, baby. All right, that's contemporary vernacular, all right? A little bridged version of the Bible. He said, I don't want to do it. I can't do it. Have you not seen how I talk? Have you not seen my nerve? Matter of fact, I murdered people. Well, I can't do this. And eventually he comes around and says, God says, hey, look, I'm going to give you Aaron. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to provision you. And he goes. We look at the disciples as they're sent out two by two by Jesus. And he tells them, don't take anything with you. That's the first time, by the way. He sends them out twice. The first time he says, don't take nothing with you. You don't need a sword. You don't need any of this stuff. Go out and you will be provisioned by God. Look, how many of us are willing to leave our jobs, leave our homes, go with just the clothes on your back and start going out and preaching the Word of God? How many of us are willing to do that today? All right? Look, I'm not. Look, that's tough. Hey, that's tough to ask anybody. But God provisions those whom He chooses. That's the key. That's what He's saying here. And when He says this to Mary in Luke 1 verse 32, He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give Him the throne of His father David. This child has a great destiny and you will be provisioned is what God is saying. Do not be afraid. He's saying, don't be afraid of me. He's saying, don't be afraid of what God is setting to you, because I'm going to take you to it. I'm going to bring you through it, and it's going to be awesome. And you're going to be blessed. And then we see Mary at the end in verse 38, I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled in me. I am the Lord's servant. You know, when we think about salvation and Christmas and Jesus, and we think about Mary, salvation can only come to the willing. God's Son, Jesus, was willing to be in the flesh. Mary was willing to take on this responsibility that I'm going to tell you was full of fear. In a time and age like that, a woman betrothed becomes pregnant and has not been with her betrothed. They could have taken out and stoned her to death. That was a death sentence that she was willing to be a part of. That was a death sentence she was taking on, and he would have been full well within the law to do it. And she says yes, because she believes God has provision. You know, when Christmas, salvation comes at Christmas, I want to tell you this, when you come into the Lord is your provision. He will never set you to a task that He isn't willing to equip you for. And I'm going to tell you, most of the time, you won't think you're ready for it. You won't think you're equipped to do it. And you don't think that you're the one that God really wants to do this. But I'm telling you, God will make sure you succeed. Just as He is with Mary. And all it takes is this proclamation that says, I will. Romans 10 verse 9, if you declare with your mouth Jesus was his Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And here she is facing ridicule, death, and disappointment from her family. Hey, look, that's all a sidebar. Ladies, how many of y'all want to take on the responsibility of raising God's son? Dads? Look, I make a lot of mistakes as a dad, all right? But then raising Jesus, look, that's a whole new level of responsibility, all right? That's a whole new level of fear. That's a whole, what if I mess this up? What's God going to do to me? Woo, look out. But if God brings you to it, He's going to equip you for it. If God calls you to the mission, He's going to equip you for it. I want you to know, for those who are in Christ, God chooses the best suited for every situation. He will not allow you to fail. He will be your provision. Just as it was with Joseph. If we go over to Matthew chapter 1, and it begins in verse 18. And it says this. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. So two different perspectives, two different tellings of the story. By the way, the birth of Jesus is only told in Matthew and Luke, just so you know. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Yeah, right. You know, I got to, hey, look, anyway, we'll get to it. Hold on. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will save the people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said to the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph awoke, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him. He took Mary home as his wife, but he did not consummate their marriage until she had given birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Again, a lot of theology inside of these passages. But I'm going to tell you, this is not a normal situation. Fellas, I don't know about you, but I wooed my wife, all right? I know for you young people, woo is not a contemporary word, all right? I chased after my wife. I wanted my girlfriend at the time. I was very interested in her. I wrote her love letters, all right? She has them still. We didn't date long before I went into basic training, okay? And then I wrote her letters in basic training. I wrote love letters, love you, you know, at the end. Those kind of things, those mushy things you do at the beginning. Fellas, you're not supposed to stop doing that, by the way, just so you know. You're supposed to keep doing those things. And so I was chasing after her, and I would do things for her, buy gifts for her. I would do all these great things. I was investing time. I was investing relationship in with her. We were getting to know each other. Now, look at this. I went to basic training. I can't imagine coming home on leave and finding her a little pregnant. That pretty much ended the situation pretty quick for me, you know. Look, I was away. Some things happened, all right? Now, can you imagine, if you will, you're in that situation. She comes to you and says, well, you know, God made me pregnant. Yeah, right. Good one. Yeah. Can you imagine Joseph in this time? He had these decisions to make. He had in mind to quietly divorce her, even though he could have taken harsher punishments against her. He could have given her public disgrace and dragged her into the city square. He could have taken her before the temple and had them put judgment upon her. But because of this investment of relationship, he wanted to do the right thing. We find out very quickly that Joseph has this tender heart, this loving side of him, that he doesn't want these things to go down, but he wants a relationship with a woman that's pure. He wants a holy relationship. He wants a lawful relationship with his wife. And so he had in his mind, I'm sure some fear was sinking in. And even though she had said, hey, look, this is from the Holy Spirit, I'm sure he had his doubts. He had trouble accepting it. Sometimes we have that trouble. We don't believe the message that comes to us that God says, this is what I want you to do. This is where I want you to be. Why? Because it goes contrary to what we want. It goes contrary to our own feelings. It goes contrary to logic. You know, that's what salvation is. That's the salvation that came at Christmas, is this salvation that goes completely against the logic. Why would God, who made the rules, who didn't break the rules, come down and fix everything for the ones that did? That's like somebody goes in and murders your family and you pay the price for it. You go to jail for them. Well, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. See, that's the wonderful thing about God, is his wisdom never makes any sense to human wisdom, but it transcends it. It's bigger than that. The salvation that comes is bigger than what we understand. And as we see Joseph here, and he's struggling to accept this, again, we see this wrestling. We see this in John 13, verse 34. We see this coming out. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. I got to imagine that kind of thing is starting to sink in. I've got to love this woman. I've got to really put into this, because it's coming to me. But there's this fear underneath of it. He's going to be ridiculed. Maybe his business is going to suffer because he's married to this hussy over here. Everybody will know the story. Everybody's going to know what's going on. You thought Rossville was a small town? You ought to check out Nazareth, right? Nothing good comes out of Nazareth. Don't you remember when they said that? They know. Everybody knows. So there's this fear underneath. I remember it kind of relates to the time when I had a boss. It wasn't a great one in the military, and we were in a hurry trying to get some things done, and he started calling on us to cut some corners and do some things not quite the way we're supposed to do them. And I remembered this fear underneath of me when I had to go to him and tell him no. He's a staff sergeant. I'm this little bitty E2 guy. There's some rank difference here, and I got to go to this guy and I got to say no. It ain't right. The opposite of that is here's Joseph, and he's got to say yes. Even though it's not going to look right, it's going to be right. That's what it looks like when God calls us to something big like this, like salvation. In our own hearts, in our fleshly minds, in our fleshly thoughts, it's not going to look right. But I'm here to tell you, if we just say yes, if we just take it on, God is going to make it okay. I love that. I love what it says here. And in the end, you just got to be willing to be God's servant. As you come to the end of Matthew here in chapter 1, I like what it says in verse 24. It says, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. He received the message. He didn't argue with the message. He didn't beat it up. He struggled with it. But once the angel of the Lord came to him and said, everything's going to be okay, he knew then that it would be. You know, the Word of God tells us that in our salvation, God's going to drive us to some places we're just not going to be real comfortable with. He's going to drive us to some places our flesh is going to say no. He's going to take us to some places we're going to be really uncomfortable. But he says this, if you're just willing, it's going to be okay. You're going to have to walk down that dark hallway after that nightmare. And you're going to have to creep through it. And you're going to have to summon up all your courage. And you're going to have to fill your heart with that thought, if I can just get to my Father, everything's going to be okay. And here's Joseph. And he makes this walk down the hallway and he gets to the Father and he says, yes. And he goes and he did just as he was commanded to do. John 14, verse 1 really sums this up. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus says, believe, and I will take care of you. It reminds me of James 1:22, and I love what it says here. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but hey, guys, here's a novel idea. Do what it says. Joseph received the word, and if he'd have said, yeah, that's a great word. Yeah, tomorrow I'm going to finish up my divorce proceedings, though. Maybe Christmas didn't come. But instead, he heard the word of the Lord, and he did as it said. You know, as we come through and we talk about this message of Jesus, this message of hope, this message of salvation at Christmas, I'm here to tell you that this message is wonderful and it's full of faith and it's full of joy and it comes from wonderful places. We go back and they prophesied this hundreds of years before Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign, and the virgin shall conceive and give birth to a son, and he will call him Emmanuel, God with us. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And in all of this salvation that comes at Christmas, we find hope. And not hope of the world. I remember hope like that. My My wife and I were stationed in California, probably the worst place we'd ever been. Not that there's anything wrong with California, it just wasn't a good duty station for us. And I remember we got to go to one Christmas. The one Christmas I was home, that whole time we were there, we got to go to a Christmas party. You remember that? It was over at the hotel. They had the big Christmassy stuff up, and you know, and it was kind of a breakfast brunch kind of thing going on, and so it was kind of fun, and we had a good time, and they give away gifts at those Christmas party things, and so we got called on to get a gift, and we opened it up, and our gift, what we got was a lottery ticket, and a lottery ticket had 10 sets of numbers on it, and we thought, wow, you know, and you know, maybe we prayed over the lottery ticket, I can't remember. But I was thinking, man, this could really do some things for us. We could win $10 million. We could be rich. We could be okay. Everything's going to be all right. Yeah. That's the hope of the world. That's a wringing hands hope that's based on nothing but dreams. That's the hope that doesn't survive. That's the hope that as we watched our little Powerball thing, the numbers start coming down, and the first number comes out, and we're like, yeah, it's not even in our first 10 cent number. In all those numbers, those 10 sets of numbers, we didn't hit a single number. God says, stop putting your hope in things that don't matter. Stop putting your hope in things that fail. Stop putting your hope in the wisdom of men. Follow me. Follow my wisdom. Follow my hope that is the hope that says, I'm going to send you a son, and he's going to be called Emmanuel, and he will be my son, and he will deliver the people from death. And he will deliver the people from sin. And he will deliver the people from all of their shame and their guilt and all of the bad things in their life. He's going to deliver them from those things. And he is going to love like you've never seen love. And he is going to bring a light to the world like you've never seen light. And he's not going to make any sense to anybody. But in the end, you will know that he is the Son of God. And you know what? It came true. Because God's hope can be trusted. God's hope can be trusted. What he says comes true. And so we have this faithful submission, both by Mary and by Joseph, and hopefully by us today, from Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. Mary and Joseph did not become giants of faith because of themselves, but because they placed their hope in the hope of God. Because they placed their hope in the everlasting hope. Because they saw salvation come in their Son. Luke 2 and verse 11, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And now today, Jesus' faith brings us close to him. Ephesians 2 verse 8, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is the faith of Christ, not my faith. And this is not a gift of yourselves, that's how we know that. It is a gift from God, and that is Jesus. Romans 8 verses 29 through 34, those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. Folks, that's anybody who accepts Jesus Christ. That's what I said. When I said he'll bring you to it, he'll equip you for it, that's exactly what it's saying there. He's justified us for his work. He has justified us to come to him in faith. And so today, this morning, as we look upon this story of Mary and Joseph and Jesus, and this faith that they had, not brought about because they had faith to start. No, we saw at the beginning they were troubled. They were fearful. They didn't know what to do, but they saw the message of the Lord tell them it was going to be okay. If you just trust in me. And we see these two people grab a hold of this destiny, this wonderful mission that God had for them, and he brings them through, and the child Jesus is born. And salvation came at Christmas because of the faithful. And I'm here to tell you today, you can find Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior because He is faithful. And I'm here to tell you, number two, that others can find the Lord Jesus as their Savior if you are faithful to bring the message to them. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for these things, for the hope that you bring us.